Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191 A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. This Friday they have all new music happy hour going on. They've got 10% off entire stock on Fridays, free beer from Four Hands Brewery, new vinyl spinning, and they'll have brand new records coming in from Def Leppard, Government Mule, Chris Isaak, Dr. Dog, The Starting Line, Bob Dylan, Steely Dan, Stevie Ray Vaughan, The Moody Blues, Lucinda Williams, Leon Bridges, and many, many more. So get down there, check out the new vinyl, check out their local music selection they have, and pick up some great new and used tapes and CDs while you're there also. So all kinds of things going on down at Music Record Shop. Find out more information at their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
This is J.D. Hughes, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from Shanti Yoga Studio in Maplewood, Missouri, hanging out with J.D. Hughes of J.D. Hughes and the Fuse.
Hello, how's everybody?
Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, glad to be here.
So, 2 weeks ago, I guess, was my first for the show. I recorded inside a minivan. And this is now a new first for the show. It's first time in a yoga studio. So me and JD are going to do some yoga during this interview. So hopefully not.
Get out your yoga mats and we'll walk you through some guided poses.
So you we're here because you played this afternoon in for the class?
Yeah, I played the Sunday morning class. I play a couple times a month here. Yeah. And starting this year, it's kind of my goal is to play a lot more mindful music into my just normal routine, because I'm always playing at bars and I'm playing, you know, just music for the crowd and everything. And this is kind of a way for me to slow down and kind of get in the zone. And I'm playing at, I'm doing also like a series of, it's called Songs in the Key of Chi. I'm going to do with my acupuncturist, where we do music right after I get acupuncture session. And hoping to bring some more people in on that, like collaborate, like just whatever happens right after an acupuncture session, just hit the go button on the mic, and just whatever happens, no premeditated anything.
So. Right. Very cool. Yeah, I've never done any the yoga stuff, but I was interested, like how that would work out with the live music going on and stuff. Because a lot of times, you know, I'm sure most studios is probably a track, you know, put a CD on and stuff, and so.
I kind of tend to. I try to pay attention to what this teacher is doing and what the class, like the intensity, because always kind of yoga classes always start off really slow and then they build to a certain climax and then they come back down at the very end to the shavasana, and I kind of try to flow as best I can just with the teacher. I don't. It's another one of those things that I don't. It's live improvising for me as well, and I play a lot with my effects pedals, and I have a looper, and I just really create as much as ambience as I can with just a guitar, and eventually I'd like to add, I've been talking with some friends and adding some, almost make like a yoga band, basically, with live percussion and live, just kind of like, how can I... It's a new avenue of music for me. Like, you know, I'm real big into the mind-body connection and music. And music comes from what you hear, regardless, is what's in your soul, in my perspective.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a great breeding ground to be kind of like open and see what happens.
Sure, man.
I'm excited and curious to see how it's going to turn out myself throughout the year.
Yeah. So, So you are originally born and raised here in St. Louis?
Yeah, I grew up in Fenton / High Ridge. So I'm from good old Jefferson County out there. And and I grew up out there, and I went to, my parents were divorced when I was 7 or 8. So then I went and lived with my dad for a time in my teens. And I went out to Chesterfield and went to Marquette and stuff. Then I came back and lived out there in Jefferson County again. Went to school out in Northwest.
Yeah.
So then I moved away to Colorado in my late 20s. And then I came back.
Cool. What, just a new adventure?
Colorado?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went out there just to, like, I wanted to be by the mountains. I was kind of getting into rock climbing at the time. And I just wanted to be by the mountains and travel. And then I just wasn't getting a lot of music gigs. And I didn't want to get a normal 9-to-5 kind of job. And there was just a bunch of music back home, and I came back. I wrote a song for St. Louis. I actually won an award down at the Sheldon Concert Hall called Good Old St. Louis. Yeah. And it's like, and kind of like in the lyrics, it always says, you know, I'll always roam, but there's only one place I'll call my home, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like St. Louis it's got its roots. It's a great place to be. The living is cheap. The culture is rich, and, you know. Like,
sure.
it's easy to kind of, like, spread your wings from St. Louis.
Yeah.
So.
I've been here all my life as well. I live, about 40 miles outside of town in Wentzville. But, you know, St. Louis has always been home, and I really enjoy it here, man. It's so much to offer. You know, people always saying that, I hear a lot. Like, and it's kind of why I started doing the show is, like, people like, oh, there's nothing to do in this town. There's nothing going on. I'm like, this.
When I lived out in Jefferson County, and just like probably like you out in Wentzville, everybody gets so stuck in their little like small town mentality. It's all we have, and you know, and everybody's like, St. Louis sucks, you know. And I grew up with that same conversation from all those kids. And then when I moved to Colorado, it was cool. Then I moved back to St. Louis, and I was like, I moved down to the city. And I was like, I didn't need to move to Colorado. I could have just moved to the city.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm like, you know, I can't hardly imagine living outside of the city limits in a sense, like in St. Louis. You know, like there's so much going on all the time. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I kind of like it out where I'm at. Like it's, but it'd be nice, like just the travel. You know, I'm down in the city a lot with. For shows and stuff, it would be nice to be a little closer, but it's not too bad.
What's really nice too about St. Louis is I always think that St. Louis and the Midwest in general is always like 5 or 10 years behind what all the other progressive cities are doing, like Boulder and San Francisco, and where there's much more like forward thinking, you know, kind of liberal ideas, and much more like health orientated. Stuff and like we're finally catching on. I think like it's becoming trendy to be healthy, to like even here, like there's more yoga studios popping up everywhere. There's like gonna be a kombucha bar opening up. Like I'm good friends with the Confluence Kombucha. He sometimes has his kombucha on tap at these yoga studios. It's just like everybody's, you know, there's vegan restaurants opening up like Treehouse and Gooseberries and all these. It's becoming trendy to be healthy, to be progressive, and I'm glad to be a part of it in some way, you know. So I think the world needs more of that, you know, personally. And just
so when did you get started playing?
I was 13.
13?
Yeah, actually, my brother is 3 years older than me, and he started playing guitar when he was like 15. And then you always want to do what Big Brother does, and so. He played on it for about eight or ten months, and then I started kind of picking it up, you know. I followed what my brother was listening to. Like, he was just big into Nirvana and Rancid and all that punk rock music and the Slayer. And then I started playing when I was 13. My dad was like, well, you know, if you start now, you'll be, by the time you're 15 or 16, you'll be 2 years ahead of where he was at. And so, yeah, my dad pretty much bought me private lessons. The guy would come to my house, Howard Langworthy, and every week we'd have a half an hour lesson for about a year. And that, like, and then my brother played, and so we had like this healthy competition between the two of us to play. And then we were in metal bands, Like we were just obsessed with Pantera and Dimebag Darrell and all that and Slayer and all that stuff. Yeah, I played metal for like, first 5 years of my guitar playing was just mostly all metal. And so
That's pretty drastic difference from what you're stuff that you're doing now.
Yeah, I mean, but I like it because it helped me like build a lot of chops, like playing really fast and it got my I really learned a lot about theory by playing metal, actually, which is, I don't know, there's a lot of scales and a lot of solos. I was like, solos going on. And then I was like obsessed with Zakk Wylde. Yeah. Like, oh man, Zakk Wylde is the best ever.
Yeah.
And we used to be in a band called Luciferin, which actually stands for, it's what makes bioluminescent organisms glow like a firefly, but it sounded evil. So we were like knocking out two birds in one stone. You know?
Yeah.
And we played at Pops once, and I don't know. Once I got sick, I pretty much stopped playing metal music. I couldn't hang with it anymore.
Yeah.
But I was thinking like the story. Like when we were younger, I used to. I don't know if it's podcast worthy, but we used to like. I was able to get like beer when I was like 17, and I worked at Long John Silver's, and my brother was older. And we lived together at the time at my mom's trailer. Sorry, Mom, if you have to hear this, but and I would bring back a few nights a week that I'd work. I'd bring back like a 20. We just like our of like whatever beer it was, and we would just stay up and play guitar till like 3 a.m. And I'd have to get on the bus at like 6:30, and then we'd just like I'd oftentimes sleep through the bus, and then my brother would have to take me down to school and stuff. Yeah. It was just like, but we were just playing. Shredding all night long, man. Right. Just like, and that's like what really. We were playing a lot. We probably played like 2 to 4 hours a day, like the first few years of my guitar playing. You know, that really kind of set the pace.
When do you get into songwriting then?
Yeah, I didn't really like. There was a guy that my friend of mine, Tim Johnson. He was in a band called Walk the Earth, and he was always more of like. Singer songwriter, but like, and they were like real grungy, like the Point kind of stuff too. And I never wanted to. I didn't think I would sing, you know. And if it wasn't for him, he was just like, dude, you got it. You should sing, man. Everybody should sing and play the guitar, you know. Like, and he really just kind of like gave me the balls, gave me the like the motivation I needed. So I would say I started singing like when I was like maybe 19 or 20. And I was just like, I remember singing, and I was living with my grandma when I was 19, and I was like, had a little 4-track recorder in my house, and I was singing metal stuff, you know, but I'm like, have my headphones on, and I'm like, so nobody could hear anything, and like, I'm singing like, Warmask, you know, like, and she like knocked on the door and was like, Jeff? Are you okay? It's like, I thought you were dying in there. You know? So that was funny. Like, yeah, just to see, because I was trying to sing like real metal stuff. And then I, like I said, it all kind of changed when I got sick. I mean, everything. Then I just started, I mean, I kind of wrote some acoustic songs before, but they were all kind of like depressing, you know? Like,
yeah.
Which is okay. But they were like much more like Alice in Chains-y kind of vibes, you know. So I was big into that, and Zakk Wylde. Like I was just so big into Black Label Society.
Yeah.
Like I was fucking. I just like I learned all. I learned so much of his stuff, and like had his whole catalog, you know.
Right. You you said getting sick. You want to? What happened there?
So when I was 22, I came down with leukemia. It was just. You know, I had like 5 weeks of fever, and I was a carpenter at the time, and I was playing music on the side, just doing what a normal 21, 22-year-old would do, and came down with, you know, leukemia. We found that out. We thought it was, we didn't know what it was, but, and then, so yeah, my life just drastically changed. I had actually started playing in a Latin jazz band before that, like 6 months before that, which was, I was kind of taking a trajectory with my music in a different way, but I was playing bass with that. It was a band called, we used to be called Menyache, and then we were, they're called Acoustic Element now. Really good friends of mine. But so then, I just, I got sick, and you know, I spent 6 weeks in the hospital, like right off the bat, and then I did for so that was in May, and then the whole like June to January, I was just like getting chemo, and I just like would go into the doctor's office 5 days a week, and that was actually I got really close with my grandma at that time. We had already been close, but it was really great to, because she would come pick me up all the time because my mom could work and stuff like that. And yeah, life just changed. And I remember actually going back to keep it on the music theme, is that when I had gone through the 6 weeks of chemo, and then when I went home for a while and I was kind of healing back up, I tried to get back together because it was my brother and then two other really great friends. We were all in that band called Luciferin, and they had always just been like we were like the best friends. We got together like 2-3 times a week, and I remember going back and we were trying to play like the songs, and we had a lot of like blast beats and real heavy stuff, and I was just like, I actually had like an anxiety attack, and like I had to stop playing and sit down on the couch and just be like, guys, I don't think I can do this anymore. Like, my body won't let me be this intense right now.
Yeah.
And so right then, I had kind of been fighting within my head, I think, for a long time about, like, do I really want to be playing metal music? Do I really want to be in this scene? It's kind of a dark, like, scene, like, to be... I like the music a lot of times. I always liked Opeth. There's, like, a very melodic metal music. Sure. And, you could always kind of hear what he's saying, enunciating, and their melodies and their harmonies were so great. But I didn't really like the culture. It was kind of to go to these shows, you kind of got to, like, hate the world. It's like the status quo. Not everyone that's a metalhead is that. I'm just saying. Like, and I was fighting that with my head. Like, are these the people do I want to surround myself with? Because I was getting the notion of, like, who you surround yourself with is who you become in the world. Like I'm a real big fan of that. Like, the five people you spend the most time with, like, influence your whole life.
And, yeah, definitely.
And so I had already been fighting with that. And I liked a lot of country music and softer things. I loved Dave Matthews and Trevor Hall. All these, like, I started, like... And when I had that anxiety attack, it kind of, like... solidified the deal that, like, this isn't my path anymore, you know. And then I pretty much, like, it wasn't, we maybe got together a few more times, but like the band just disbanded in a sense. My brother was having a kid too, so it was just kind of like the right time. Yeah. And now that I've gotten older, like, I'm kind of back. I still like some of that chunky stuff. Like, I love Umphrey's McGee.
Yeah,
I love how they get heavy, but they don't scream,
sure,
you know. And I was playing the lead vocalist role too, and like I listened back to some of the stuff that I was doing, and just like I had no business doing that.
Right. You say Trevor Hall, man, and it clicked because I was listening to some of your tunes that I saw that you're on the YouTube video for Whole New Way.
Yeah,
and I know that's exactly the first thing that came to mind was Trevor Hall, kind of. Yeah. Some of the voice inflections you did on that track,
yeah,
like, it kind of reminded me a little bit of him, and I'm a huge fan of him too, man.
Totally.
He's and Michael Franti. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of what you're saying about the after being sick and the change and everything, it reminded me a lot of Michael Franti's message and how he he's all about positivity and
positive experience.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just having that. And but he, you know, he's always preaching love and, mm-hmm, and all this. I don't know. I went to see him for the first time, Michael Franti, about 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And couldn't get anybody to go with me. I went by myself, man. And I had like the best time of my life. Like, just, such a cool experience to be just in the room with him, that vibe that he gives off, and just it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's Actually, that's how I found Trevor Hall, actually. So I didn't come across, you know, I said Trevor Hall, like, earlier, but I didn't really hear about Trevor Hall till way after my cancer, like, battles. So I was at, was it, like, 2000 and maybe, what year are we at, 2016? Yeah. So probably, like, 2010 or 2000, early 2011, I had went to see Michael Franti at the Pageant. And Trevor Hall opened up for him,
right.
And I was like, "Who is this guy?" You know, and there was he was pretty good, you know, but he wasn't like blowing me away. And then like the last song he played called "Unity," and he was talking all about like Jesus, Buddha, Moses, and Garanga. You know, we all danced together. Just the whole story of that song, and I was like, and then Michael Franti was actually in the crowd and jumped on stage and like finished the song out with him. And I just remember that like I was like that song, and then I was just like I just. Went home and like looked up Trevor Hall and just like I got kind of I started slowly getting involved with him and then like pretty much you know after I had a bone marrow transplant you know so in 2008 and then it was like in 2011 and I had both my hips replaced at the end of the year so from you know November 2011 I had my left one done and then February 2012 I had my right one done and I decided right then. When I had a lot of like time just laying in my bed, I decided that, you know, I was going to go on a vacation out in the Southwest, you know, and just like, basically I beat cancer and I got two new hips replacement vacation to myself. So I called up, I have a friend, Vicky in Flagstaff, and I was like, I'm coming to see you, you know, and then I had a friend in Arcosanti, which is like an urban community kind of off the grid place down there in Arizona too. And I just went, I just like, and then I, String Cheese was playing in Denver, so I like made this whole loop for like 3 weeks, and the whole reason I say all that is because on that journey is like, as you're building your road trip music collection, I just like, Trevor Hall was like, I just like, it was like my spirit release music, and all of his words, and like, I just, him and Neil Young, the Neil Young Unplugged album, I listened to so much Neil Young when driving through the mountains of Colorado, and Trevor Hall, and it's like, I don't know, like, I feel like Trevor Hall, like, healed me in some way.
Sure, man.
Louis Armstrong, like, when I was going in the hospital, I would listen to Louis Armstrong, like, every morning. Every single morning, like when the first time I got sick, I would listen to Louis and like, and it would help me set my pace for the day to like, okay, I can do this, you know, like, and so I have like a shirt that was made, like Louis got me through, you know. So I kind of feel like Louis Armstrong and Trevor Hall are like my two most like helped me get through stuff. And then like, I love. So then that music, that song, that whole new way that I wrote definitely has that Trevor Hall inflection. And it's like, it's all about, it's about my journey of like, how can I switch my mindset, you know? And I like the first lines is like, you know, is there a limit to how much one can take? Because I've seen so much that I thought I would break, you know? Then I let the fear run right out my heart and I let the love come in and I feel a new start. And it's kind of like, I feel like that's what Trevor kind of embodies, that thing. It's kind of interesting, too, as we're sitting here, you know, Ashanti, and it's like there's a Tibetan singing bowl and, you know, Buddha, got Buddha right next to us. And it's, I really admire his approach to music, actually, and his life. And I hope to one day, like, share the stage with him, you know, just in some way.
I think it's cool. I've still never got to see him live.
That's great.
I'd love to, man. You know, he, you know, like just like you were saying, he's just everything he embodies as a person, and his message and his music is it's pretty awesome.
Oh yeah.
You saying Neil Young reminded me. I was listening to Stern Show. I've told the story, but you know, it's an interesting thing, and I think a lot of artists, you know, your story kind of reminded me of it a little bit there. But Neil was telling a story about. On Stern Show about having like a fever or something, and like he was like laid up in a hospital bed for a long time, and like I guess he said something like just asked for a notebook and he just started writing and like and didn't know I guess in this like you know fever didn't know what he was really writing but out of that like came like his three like biggest hits like he started he like I guess after after the fever broke and he's coming back around, he started like kind of decoding what he wrote down and stuff, and like out of that like came like stuff like Cinnamon Girl or whatever, like, you know, a lot of the big ones. And wow. But just that was like pretty, you know, crazy for me, like where you never know like quite when that inspiration is going to strike to start writing.
For sure.
And you know, and a lot of times you know, whether it is a sickness or death or you know, birth or, you know, whatever, there's various things in life that we go through that you know, people these big life moments that obviously can help trigger some of those things, those yeah. feelings and stuff. So
that's kind of like, have you ever heard of Viktor Frankl? He was he wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning, which was a book that really helped, that I read, really changed my life. He was a Nazi concentration camp victim. He was already a psychologist or a psychiatrist before that happened, and his whole point was that after that experience, that, you know, the one thing you can't take away from us is like our will to live and our purpose to live, and that man can find his meaning in life through the suffering that he goes through. And so when I was actually in the hospital, my girlfriend at the time, her family, they came to see me at the hospital. And I say this story all the time because it was monumental for me. And her Holly, she brought this card, and it had a sunflower on it. Or it was a daisy, I'm sorry, daisy. And inside of it, it said, "What is to give light must endure burning." Hmm. And I just like, it's so true. Like, so like, you know, what, you know, like how much burning, you know, it's like you got to suffer some. And like, you can also find, if you're open to that and receptive to it, you can find like your new trajectory in life, like through that burning to give light to so many people. And I kind of feel like it sounds crazy, but like cancer in some ways is the best gift that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, that's, I mean, that's,
because then it can inspire so many sure. other people that are going through it. And it doesn't mean that I don't get down on myself and I don't like beat myself up and feel like all this shit hadn't happened to me and, you know, wah, 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 you know, but
yeah,
that's it's given me a new purpose.
Yeah. I spoke to a guy, while back, Keith, and he had a similar kind of experience. He well, not personally for him, but the outcome, like his son had he lost his son to heroin, mm-hmm. and that's how he approached it. Was like he could either, you know, continue to be down on himself and mourn his son, or he could celebrate his son's life, and he used that. That message to go and start speaking at schools and spreading the message about you know, drug abuse and everything, and try to prevent further people, you know, kids from getting into that mess. And yeah. But yeah, just, you know, you take that pain and you flip it and you try to make it as positive as you can. And like I think that's huge, man. I mean, yeah. That's
which is what we're kind of doing as well. Like then for people on the podcast, they don't know, but we're filming this as well right now. And yeah. It's like, you know, we're shooting a documentary kind of with my friend Brandon and about kind of like what has happened with my life and what have I been through? Mm-hmm. What am I still going through as far as like after the, you know, all of the cancer stuff and like, how am I doing it? And then like, what am I currently doing to still like pursue my dreams? Cause like I kind of was, you know, I was a carpenter before I got sick and I was just doing music on the side. And now it's kind of like, you know, I've flipped that. I realized that this is what I want to follow my dreams. You know, like I want to play music. And so now I do mostly all, I teach 3 nights a week and I play music and I'm doing like pay it forward concerts and stuff. I do those things. I also work at a Milk Toast Bar, which is like, that's a place that's health conscious and is giving, you know, to the back to the community as well, and with programs that they have doing. And then I'm also playing some of these classes that are bringing inspiration to people just in the classes. And then like, okay, so where have I been? What have I gone through? What am I currently doing? And what am I going to do? You know, like, so, you know, I have a big, you know, I did a Pay It Forward concert in the beginning of the year called the Soul Soup Concert. It's like my third annual one that I usually do.
Yeah,
I did the first two they weren't like pay forward concerts. Then we turned that into a pay forward concert. And then I got plans to do, when I was sick, we threw a benefits call for me called the Frock Stock. Everyone used to call me Jeffro and then Jeff Rock. And then it turned into Frock was my nickname. So it became Frock Stock. And then, so we raised a lot of money for me to do alternative things, because I was really big into alternative health during my chemotherapy, during my cancer stuff, and so what I want to do is I want to turn that into in September, and I want to get some heavy hitting bands, do an outside concert. Basically, I'll go to my doctors that I trust, like some acupuncturists and even my oncologist, and say who could use, let's say we raise $10,000, 10 people that could use $1,000 to live a healthier lifestyle, you know. And so
yeah,
that's just one thing, and then hopefully this can turn into like a speaking tour, and it can turn into a music thing, and like basically what can I do with this, and what can I do with my life, like what kind of legacy am I going to leave? I don't feel like I've gone through all of this pain and suffering for to just let it just to just go work a 9-to-5 and
yeah,
plug away and do whatever I do, you know.
Sure.
So, and that's just my trajectory. I'm not saying everyone has to do that, but mm-hmm, that's just my trajectory.
Yeah. I try to do a similar thing all as well with my life. I try to, you know, that's a lot of why I've been trying to promote as much different music in town with this show and then, you know, various things. Just trying to help out as many people as I can. Try to change my life purpose and stuff, you know, mm-hmm, make a difference in somebody else's life, and so yeah, that's really cool, man. I'm excited to see what happens with
me
all this,
too. It's another one of those things, like it's got a vision for it, and then I was just like, now it's like, because we've just been kind of like brooding it over the last, I don't know, few weeks, just like what can we do, you know, because really it kind of started out too, just like because Brandon's, you know, good friends with Prince E. I don't know if you know Prince E, that guy. He's just changing people's lives with inspiration and yeah, music and fitness. And, like, the world needs more people like that, you know. And it's like, I have a good backstory. It's not that I'm, like, exploiting it or whatever. It's, like, it's what I've gone through. And
sure,
people, so it's, like, the world just needs more people to stand up and, like, be kind of brave and vulnerable with how they can help, you know.
It's a message that people, I think a lot of people relate to, you know, whether maybe it's not the leukemia, but there's a lot of people going through different cancers and different things and
diabetes,
yeah,
or they're going through, sure, whatever, you know, they're, yeah, paraplegics or, sure, whatever,
but they can take that, you know, and if, you know, look, if I can make it, you know, you can do it. And
yeah, that's, and that is the ultimate message, is like that what is to give like endures burning, and also like that that you can still go live your dreams, even though no matter what you've gone through. And like, maybe that just means maybe your dream is actually just to go to the grocery store and shop for yourself. Because so many people don't even, I remember reading a book that was called, it doesn't matter what the book was, but he was just saying like so many people don't even get to make their own choices for themselves.
Right.
They literally cannot go to the store and pick which type of cereal they want to buy, or if they even want to buy cereal, like someone makes that decision for them because they're not cognitive enough, or they just can't physically go there.
True.
You know, and it's like, that's, so next time, he was like, next time you're at the grocery store and you're looking at different options, like remember that you are gifted enough to just make a choice.
Yeah,
because some people don't even have a,
sure,
choice, you know.
Woohoo. Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of your music. Like I said, we talked a little bit about Whole New Way, which I really enjoy, and in Good Old St. Louis, another great one. You got two videos. Those are on your YouTube.
Yeah, that's that Good Old St. Louis one. And I've kind of taken a, like, you know, I'll always appreciate the blues and jazz, like, stuff I do. And it's like, it's kind of like the good old part of me, you know, that like, I'll never get rid of. But my music is kind of taking a turn away from that. Like, I do have an EP that's going to come out that kind of I had recorded, like, 4 blues songs that I just want to, like, well, they're just sitting on a shelf. I'm just got to finish them up and they'll come out. But I'm not really taking that trajectory, you know. And, like, J.D. Hughes... so I have a band, J.D. Hughes and the Fuse, and, you know, we're kind of doing, It's almost like, I don't know, Dave Matthews meets jazz fusion meets rock, reggae, you know. Yeah. I don't know exactly what the... Still working on a genre for that to be under. And we're playing at the old Rock House with Groove Liner and Unifia at 226. We're in the studio. Oh, that was February 26th. And we're in the studio, though, over at Sherpa Studios, Brian Ryback. And then we're also finishing stuff at Eightfold Studios with Andrew Steven. They're both playing the band. So it's kind of nice to have two producers that are in the group, yeah. You know, because they have good ideas about stuff. So, and then we're actually going to be adding in two female vocals on that, too. So at times it will be like an eight-piece band. And I'm wanting to keep taking it, a little bit farther into like Snarky Puppy land and like Hiatus Coyote and I don't know those groups.
Yeah, sure.
I know. Kind of like I really want to start having a much more vocal presence, and even with the females involved, and because I think vocals are just add so much, and the horns too. So I added a trumpet and a saxophone to it, and it's just like I love big sound as much as I like the open rawness of like Trevor Hall and singer-songwriter stuff. I love big sound. So that's the J.D. Hughes and the Fuse, and that might even go under a different name, like entirely something else. Like, and then I still have a part of me that wants to fulfill, like I love Damien Rice. Like I love Damien Rice and Trevor Hall and Dave Matthews, John Mayer, and all those kinds of people. And so like I want to still create music under my name that's like, this is for me, you know, right. And maybe write love songs, you know, and just, you know, have them be kind of two separate things in a sense. So it's like My music is like organically evolving into something, and I don't really know. I'm just going forward, just like booking shows, you know, networking, and so it's been a ride, really. Yeah. You know?
You wanna play?
Yeah, I'll play one of these. I wrote a song called "All That I Am," and it was about a certain lady I was involved with at the time. And then it's kind of like the dilemma the songwriter goes through. Like, well, I'm not currently with that person anymore. Do I squash this song? Or do I realize that this song was a snapshot of me and it was part of me? And what inspiration could it be for someone else? Like, someone else could connect on. So it's not all about me. And so I chose to keep playing the song. I kind of put it on the shelf for a few months to kind of let myself heal in a sense, and now I've brought it back and I've changed a couple things around with the arrangement, and I'm really happy the way it sounds, just kind of just even as acoustically. So
yeah,
so I'll give that a whirl for
all right, cool,
for the softer side.
To struggle and harden our hearts, but with you by my side, I know that I can let my soul shine. You fill my heart, you've given me a reason to start. To mend all the pieces of this once broken down man, and I hope you can see the love in this man, 'cause I want you to know exactly where I stand. And I hope you can feel the love in this man. 'Cause now, baby, this is all, this is all, this is all that I am. Oh, this is all that I am. Oh, yeah, this is me. You have given me a reason to be. And when the night falls upon us all, I know it'll be just you and me. We'll be wrapped up in our sheets, just like the way we both love to be. And this is where I let my guard down, yes, completely. Yes, our love, it knows no bounds. Yes, our love, oh, and our love is so profound. Most people search their whole life to find what we have found. I, for one, foresee we'll never fall off. We'll never fall off of this cloud. And I hope you can see, you can see the love in this man. And I want you to know exactly where I stand.
You can, again, come see JD Hughes and the Fuse with Unifia and Grooveliner on February 26th at the Old Rock House.
The Old Rock House. Playing totally something completely different from what you just heard.
Yeah.
But, like, so... And then I'll also play in a Bob Marley... We're doing a tribute to Bob Marley on Wednesday night. Yeah. So I don't know if they'll make it to that part.
I'll try see what I can do.
That's all good. Yeah.
But yeah.
And then there'll be, you know, catch us in the studios, websites, you know, www.jdhughes.net, you know, and I'll be posting little studio blibs, you know, as they come out. And
sure, man. Yeah, very cool. All you got other dates all listed on
JD? On my website, yeah. I'm actually going to Bulgaria for the March the 10th through April the 12th to visit some friends and live life and be a traveling wanderer. So
very cool.
There was a break in Missouri's shows for me. I play a lot solo around town. Like I play at 119 North once or twice a month. It's a place in Kirkwood. You know, I just play a lot of different little small places. I play a bowling alley, actually, out in West County Lanes. They have music on the lanes. That's always a really good time, actually. I think it's fun. Yeah. It's kind of a... You think it's like where you're going to end your musical career. Oh, I'm playing at a bowling alley now. But I'm like, it's actually quite fun.
Sure.
I was going to say, though, when I get back, though, we are going to throw a big CD release party. We're actually going to throw, like, a triple CD release party with... It's going to be my group, J.D. Hughes and the Fuse. It'll be Two Cities, One World, who is my friends that live in Bulgaria. They used to be in a band called Rhyme or Reason here. They got a pretty big following. And then we're also going to have Matt Rowland. He's going to be playing on, doing his CD release party. So the venue is not confirmed yet, but it's going to be either May 27th or June the 4th. So
all right,
I'll be sure to... Make sure to plug into you as that comes, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And you have the official Facebook page. I can keep up with you on there.
Yeah, it's the J.D. Hughes and the Fuse.
But yeah. Well, we can close this out with a studio track.
Yeah. And also playing at yoga classes and stuff around town. So, you know, you can, you know, catch that. I know I'm going to be doing some shows with Jill Duncan at for her bhakti yoga classes. So if you're into that mindful meditation kind of music, come and check that out, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Or just hit me up on my website or Facebook, and I'll let you know where to go.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you want JD to come play your yoga studio or
anything.
Bowling alley or...
And a big shout out to Katie Kelly, the owner at Shanti, for letting us be here today.
Thank you for having us.
They use this room, so...
Yeah. So what song would you like to throw on there?
We'll do that, the Whole New Way song.
All right. You know,
that's a, kind of the trajectory of or what we talked about earlier, like the whole message of that and changing my mindset and
great
a whole
song.
New way to live. So
definitely. Yeah, I love that tune, man. It was great.
Thanks.
Really, and it's a nice little video from... You got on the YouTube too.
Yeah, we kind of did like a studio video.
Right.
Like this is what happens like when you're in the studio, kind of sort of like, and we're kind of like did some silly cuts to it. And actually, me and Brandon were talking about maybe doing a more like serious video to that song to kind of document like what's actually the words you're talking about, especially with what we're doing with the documentary and everything. So
yeah, and I like the good old St. Louis video too, because all the different shots of all St. Louis in there. So that was really well done. So yeah, go on YouTube, check those out. I'll probably link them on my webpage. So.
And the guy that did those, just so throw a shout out to him, is Josh Friedrich. So he works with a guy called Cashmere Media Productions, and but Josh is really, you know, he plays in a band called Bucko Toby, and they get out and about, and but he does good video work too. So
yeah. Well,
and you got Brandon from Dancing Shoes Production is shooting the videos and stuff today.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, man, this has been great. I appreciate you taking some time out to hang and share your message with me. And but yeah, I look forward to seeing you at Old Rock House.
Yeah, baby, man. That's gonna be
bring your dancing shoes.
The biggest and best show that I've done yet. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, it'll be a fun one. Yeah, those Grooveliner guys are. I just had on the show in Unifier.
Yeah,
was on a while back, and so those guys they're always a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll be playing 9 to 10. I'm gonna open the night up. So
nice, right on, man.
All righty.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Yes, in a whole new way, oh. me knocking up on her front gate, hoping that I didn't wait too late. I was so trapped, I felt so blind, and now I sip a cup from the love to find. She nurtures my soul and comforts my heart. I wish I would have known she was there from the start. God in my path, yes, each and every day, she's showing me to love in a whole new way, whole new way. Yes, a whole new way. And I said, ooh, in a whole new way.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.